Please join me in prayer. God of wisdom, open your word to your people today and open the hearts of your people to your word. Let us receive the truth that your spirit is speaking to the church, trusting that it will nourish and strengthen us. Amen. The Psalter reading for today comes to us from Psalm chapter 98. Listen to the word of God. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord.
Sometimes it feels like Jesus' parables are in an accidental order or kind of hodgepodge unless you take a step back and look at the content and the way they are all placed. The grouping in chapter 18 that's before our verse today deals with an unjust judge who grants a widow justice because she's persistent, a Pharisee who thought he was righteous, a tax collector who knelt at Jesus' feet begging for mercy, knowing he was a sinner and he's the one who was justified. And then we hear a parable about a rich man who followed the law but couldn't quite convince himself to give everything up. And then he learns that it's easier for a rich man to get to heaven, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. There's a blind man at the gates of Jericho who has so much faith that Jesus says his faith has healed him. And now we enter into Jericho, and we've been listening to these parables about righteousness, wealth, and mercy. So let's listen to the living word from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May your spirit stir us and awaken us so that we hear what you are speaking to our hearts today. Amen. Today's text is all about seeing each other, really, deeply, and truly. Have you ever been going somewhere into a room and all eyes turn on you, and you know before you walked in that everybody has already made assumptions about you, about who you are and about what you stand for? I can think of many professions that would be true of in our world today with many stereotypes. So think for a minute, professor. What do you picture when you think professor? Some of the things that our stereotypes say might be a cardigan, usually a man, maybe thick glasses with a pipe. Any professors out there? Yeah. Are you like that? Pat looks just like that. Think of cheerleader. Yeah. Think of athlete. You tend to maybe think those are not the smart guys. They're the outgoing ones. They're up there. They want attention, right? Think politician. Okay, think Olympian. Think of veterans. If you didn't know the person individually, what type of image sprouted into your head? Every label calls forth a picture. Images and stereotypes are everywhere. And while they make us, they help us a little bit to make sense of the world, to understand things, too often they venture into the judgmental and they stop us from really seeing the true person. Preconceived notions about each other are rampant. We have to do the work of making it personal, making it real, seeing individuals worthy of respect and love. None of those assumed images for any of us are completely fair or right across the board. As I described those labels, I saw grimaces among the faces for the assumptions that came with some of those labels. Assumptions and stereotypes is what Zacchaeus would have encountered in his day. And we have done him a disservice across the ages in our lessons, centuries of stereotype. This short man has jingles written. Maybe there's a few kids who remember that Deborah and I taught you in the spring. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Where'd Nathan go? Now he's gone. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? Yeah, it's a song. We taught them that. They climb the tree. We sing about it. Okay, he was a chief tax collector, which likely meant, as Rebecca taught the kids, that he was probably a little bit corrupt and thought of as a sinner. And a chief tax collector, was the sinner of sinners. He worked for the Roman government collecting, taxes. And the only way that he made a living was padding those taxes just a little bit to line his own pockets. And the only way he would get rich is by charging a lot. And the only way that he is the only chief tax collector mentioned in the Bible is that he would probably be really good at extortion and taking money. But with all of that, what type of person do you now picture scrambling to the top of that tree? It's not a really pretty picture. But he was climbing a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. So what are some other things about Zacchaeus that are not in that picture that we have in our head? He was Jewish, a descendant of Abraham. His name comes from the word Zaki, and Zaki means pure or innocent. And the thing about biblical names is that they're used to make a point. They're more than just a name. They're a descriptor of something that they want us to know about that person. The symbolic of the meaning implies integrity. So now, what type of little man are you picturing in your mind? maybe the scholar who was bullied, about whom the stereotypes were used against them. How do we see rich men in our world today? Those in power. What assumptions are right and which ones are wrong? And what is Jesus pointing to in this scripture by inviting himself into Zacchaeus' home? Zacchaeus, the faithful Jews were aghast. His house, surely not, that's not where you're going. They were grumbling, why him? Zacchaeus, however, was happy to be asked to host and to be welcomed into relationship. So there's a bit of confusion when we get to this part of the text about that verb tenses with Zacchaeus. The tenses of the verbs is not, you're coming to my house, so I will do this. The tenses of those verbs is present indicative. For grammar nerds like me, it's now. It's action now. Zacchaeus says he gives half of his possessions to the poor. And he gives fourfold back to anyone that he defrauds. After which, Jesus doesn't call him out, even though the math is a bit funky. It would have bankrupted him instead of making him a wealthy man if he were doing this. But Jesus doesn't demand that he give everything away as he did the rich man. And he doesn't even ask, sorry, Dave, for a tithe. He doesn't treat this like a respectable object lesson. Maybe, just maybe, today's text is not about money at all. It's not about power. It's about relationship and our attitudes towards each other. Zacchaeus did not expect a relationship with Jesus, but was overjoyed to be noticed when he was seeking to learn who Jesus was. And then Zacchaeus himself was seen. He jumped at the chance to host, and maybe he came away changed, as our interpretations across the ages have thought. Regardless, the focus for us is how Jesus wants relationship with each of us, how nobody should be looked down upon. Jesus didn't look down on Zacchaeus. Actually, if the wording is, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and called Zacchaeus to his side, invited him to sit at table together. Jesus sees us, honors us, looks up into our genuine true selves, and invites us to the table. So what do our tables look like today? Children all around the world are hungry and dying. This must stop and not expand, not be allowed in any nation, nevertheless home. The true scandal, however, of SNAP and this whole argument, as horrifying as it is, isn't whether we halt payments to SNAP, but that we needed them to begin with at all in a nation as rich as ours is. There's people like us, and there's wealthy sitting side by side with children who are one meal away from devastating hunger. This Zacchaeus text is all about expectation and how we see each other. How do we connect to each and every child and make a spot at our table? Do our stereotypes lead the way, or are we really looking into the eyes of every precious child of God? Truly seeing each other. Last week we remembered saints, all saints, and we emphasize that we are all the saints. Nancy Rockwell, in her article about Zacchaeus, she calls it a short story about saints and bullies. She writes, saints are people who are windows in this world. The light of God shines through them so brightly that people say they have seen salvation in them and in the household of their lives. So Rockwell probably had specific people in mind, the traditional Catholic saints, But we should expect to see them in everybody we encounter, every single person. We live into this description ourselves by reflecting God, as Rockwell references, maybe to varying different degrees, but we do it in different ways, and we do it with our unique and true selves. So how do we reclaim Christianity? Care for the least of these and shine Christ's hope and mercy out into the world. One step at a time. One weekend worth of food for kids at a time. One parking lot picnic at a time. Maybe we start in our parking lot. Today we venture to the fellowship hall and we pack more food. Christ's light will not be put out. The hope and love of Christ is greater than any of us. Jesus and Zacchaeus were about examining our assumptions, our relationships. How are we using our power and our wealth? There's no nice formula. Christ breaks all of our expectations and calls us to walk with God. Calls all of us. We're called to walk with integrity, to not look away when we don't like what we see or it makes us uncomfortable. What length will you go to see who Jesus is? Jesus is calling us to the table, an abundant table with enough for all, where being together is the most important thing. See one another. Hold on to the saints in your mind, those who are in the midst right next to you today, all of you. Hold on to each other. See truly and deeply until once again we all break bread together with every child. Amen.